Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Yeah, your Pelicans are not in the postseason. Still some really good games to watch, but I think a lot of reason for optimism, hope, and honestly, I think excitement. Brian Windhorst covers the NBA for ESPN at Windhorst. ESPN is the way to follow him over on Twitter. And of course, you see him all across all the kind of platforms over on the network. Brian, thanks for joining us this week, and how are you, man?
Good, thank you.
Look, man, you take a look at what's going on this season. How crazy has it been, especially in relations to Anthony Davis and the Pelicans, covering it as you have, you know, outside of New Orleans?
You know, I came to New Orleans in the preseason, and I spent some time with Anthony and Dell Demps and Alvin Gentry. And the one thing that I felt like was I could feel the jitteriness in the organization. I've been there and seen this before. When you have a guy like that who's near a potential free agent maneuver, the whole organization feels it, and they feel it every day. I could smell it. And it's a bad place to be in, but it's a reality in the NBA. If you have a good player, this is what happens. You kind of want that tension, to be honest with you, but I could feel it. But I also felt like Anthony was taking a very mature and team-minded approach early in the season. So I was very surprised at the turn that he made. I think that it was outside the guy that I thought I was going to get this year. I really thought he would go all out this season. I really question the decision making and the concept. I understand in a vacuum what he was doing, and I also understand that his reputation could recover. You know, you look at, for example, Paul George. He doesn't walk around with the stigma of having demanded a trade. You know, Chris Paul has demanded a trade a couple of times, obviously, as the New Orleans fans remember. He doesn't carry that stigma. So it's hard to know, but he was a guy who really didn't have a blemish on his reputation. Maybe that he didn't make the playoffs as much, but really a strange decision, and it's thrown the franchise into flux, and now it's a crisis, and now basically it's about management of the crisis and trying to work your way through it, and nobody's happy about it, to be honest with you.
Speak with Brian Windhorst of ESPN. You know, it's interesting you went there, because I was going to ask you, haven't been around him in the league, and obviously knowing a little bit better than we would, is it easy for fans here to blame Clutch Sports, to blame LeBron, because he just seemed like AD was out of character? We just haven't seen that. It's just it even when he was talking with Rachel Nichols in that first interview before the season started, Brian, you know, of him saying it's about my time and I'm just this season, it just seemed like he was trying to speak a certain way that we hadn't really sort of seen. He looked uncomfortable, I guess, in his own skin like that. So I guess my question to you, did it seem odd, his demeanor, behavior, or is this who AD is?
Look, you can blame the agent if you want. I mean, part of the agent's job is to take that blame. But ultimately, you know, Clutch is an employee of Anthony Davis. You know, I think he ultimately had to say, this is what I want to do. And so, like I said, you can throw blame, and you know, you may have a point about it. And, you know, if you're going to blame LeBron, what's LeBron to be blamed for? LeBron said he wanted to play with him.
Right.
He wanted his team to get him. I mean, I can understand if you're a Pelicans fan how you wouldn't like that, but it's not like he committed a sin. He said he wants to play with him. Ultimately, Anthony's decision to handle this season this way was Anthony's decision. And so he's got to take ownership of that. And that's where I'm going to, you know, lay the situation.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, look, remember last year, or, you know, we're sitting there at the press conference with Boogie Cousins and AD say, hey, look, they both try to recruit each other to get to play. So it happens and they talk about it. So I guess you just look at each instance as something unique. Now, one of the things that, you know, again, just to help us understand here in New Orleans, because I think there's a belief, man, Clutch Sports, they run the NBA, they have all this power. LeBron's really the almost pseudo commissioner instead of Adam Silver. How much power do they really have, do you think, around the league?
Well, there's no superstar playing alongside LeBron, and the Lakers are out of the playoffs. I think what Clutch really tries to do is they try to encourage player empowerment. And I think that's just, you know, one of the things about LeBron that you have to understand, He thinks he, and he means other stars too, have gotten are in the middle of getting an absolutely ridiculous raw deal, because he thinks even though he makes $30 million a year, that his individual team makes hundreds of millions of dollars, and collectively the NBA off of LeBron has probably made billions of dollars over the years, and he has gotten a sliver of that, and he thinks that's a bad deal. It's one of the reasons why he wants to someday graduate on to being an owner from being a player.
Right.
So one of the things he's tried to do is he's tried to switch power from the owners back to the players, because it's a way to mitigate the lack of partnership that exists. And, you know, fans most of the time are aligned more on the team side. They root for the players that are in their uniform. And LeBron and his, you know, and Clutch to a certain extent are pushing back against the established system that is set up to take advantage of the teams in the uniforms. And so that can frustrate fan bases, and I totally get it, and I would never try to talk them out of it. Mm-hmm. But from a individual perspective, if you were in his shoes, you would understand why he's doing that. And you may say, well, wait a minute. He's going to be making $37 million. He'll make $400 million in his career before it's all said and done. I'm not going to sit here and pout for him. And that's fine. But that's just not the way he looks at it, and frankly, I understand why he feels that way.
Yeah, no doubt. Brian Windhorst of ESPN joining us. Talk a little bit about the Pels, the you know, circumstance going on around the NBA, and I want to get to what you put up there on the 12th about there's a lot of names in free agency here. There's a lot of big names out there as well, and obviously here in New Orleans, we're looking at things a little differently. I watched March Madness differently, Brian. I was paying attention to Ja Morant, is, you know, Barrett, Zion, obviously, so I was looking knowing they'd be in the lottery. When you take a look at just the overall picture here moving forward, it starts with the person that's going to make the decisions. What kind of individual are the Pelicans getting in David Griffin?
Well, I have to acknowledge up front that I'm very close to David Griffin. So I think he's a phenomenal general manager. If you want to know how tough his job was in Cleveland and how good he did at that job, just notice that like 15 minutes after he left, Kyrie Irving wanted out of there. And he kept LeBron, Kyrie Irving, Ty Lue, all those players on the same page with a challenging owner, and, you know, one helped to win them a title.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he walked out of there, the whole thing essentially fell apart. He's incredibly talented at relationship building. The other thing I'll say is he's a businessman too. One of the things that he would say in Cleveland is, look, I'm not going to sit here and deny any trade rumor, because every player on this team knows he could be traded. I would never say anybody is not tradable. Now, LeBron had a no-trade clause in Cleveland. He doesn't have one in L.A. But that, he was just very frank about that. He was like, look, we're running a business. We love the guys that we have. We're going to take care of the guys that we have. But the way this goes is, if I think I can improve the team, I have a duty to improve the team, and so I may have to trade all of you. And that may sound a little bit harsh, but it's actually a pretty good way to do business.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Lakers had done business that way, for example, maybe they wouldn't have had this, you know, collapse after all those guys got mentioned in trade rumors. Because if you are Rob Pelinka, if you are Magic Johnson, and you are not offering your entire team to get Anthony Davis, quite frankly, you are derelict in your duty. And basically, David Griffin is saying, I'm not going to be derelict in my duties. He has 25 years experience in the NBA. He has worked in markets where it's been challenging, and he doesn't have a lot of money, and he doesn't have a lot of resources. He's worked in Cleveland where the resources were plentiful. I have an incredible respect for him. He's very open with the media as much as he can be. He obviously has to keep certain things close to the vest, but an excellent hire by the Pelicans, and he's got a tough job, but he is equipped to do it. Doesn't mean it'll work. We have good men who can't get it done because it's hard to win in the NBA, but he is a good man for the job.
And, Brian, how important was it? Because you saw Friday immediately afterwards, people that cover this league nationally thought it was a good move, respected move. And I guess that word respect, we hear it from players all the time, Brian. How important was it for the Pelicans with what happened this year, what's happened in the past, league buying the franchise, all that other stuff, to get respected? Because you're going to have to do business with a lot of people here with Anthony Davis's trade, with the lottery, with whatever it is you're going to be doing to build your franchise back up. How important was just that element of what you're talking about, hiring somebody that people around the league go, okay, they get it, and they mean business?
I think Mickey Loomis knew he had to have an experienced guy in the job right now. That's why, you know, he and Danny Ferry, who I am also have a good relationship with, just I want to disclose that. That's why he and Danny Ferry were the prime candidates, because the situation that exists right now, we have to make a trade. It's really difficult to hire somebody who doesn't have experience. And so I think Mickey really made experience a key part of what he was looking for in hiring the job. Something I'll say about Griff, you're going to hear positive feedback from him because Griff has a really good relationship with people in the media. There are other GMs who have been very good who don't have as much of a relationship, but because of his positive relationship with everybody in the media, he's going to be praised. But ultimately, he will not be judged on his relationship with those in the media. He'll be judged on how he gets the job done. They've got two humongous decisions coming up. One, obviously, is the Anthony Davis trade, which will probably define the early part of Griff's tenure. And secondly, what to do with this draft pick.
Right.
I am not a draft expert. I do not have the bandwidth to really watch college basketball. I trust the people that I talk to. The people that I talk to are all over the board about the depth of this draft. So first off, the possibility that they may jump up into the top four.
Right.
It's important for Pelicans fans to realize that the top four picks are now drawn this year because getting up to even four would be huge for them. Secondly, I can just tell by the variance the way people are talking to me that somebody in that zone, in 8, 9, 10, somebody's probably going to have a bite at a good player. And it's probably going to be hard to identify that good player, and you're going to need to be able to hit the ground running. So these are two really, really important things for Griff. I would also say what to do with Drew Holiday. I don't think you should trade him, but if the organization and the ownership wants to do a full rebuild and sort of go down to the studs, which is something that is reasonable, it may not be pleasant, but is reasonable, you have to examine that. I don't know how they're going on that, but all those things are going to be on Griff's plate coming up here.
Final question for you, Brian Windhorst of ESPN. Again, appreciate your time at Windhorst ESPN. Follow on Twitter. I look at it like that. I look at it as an excitement. You look at it, if they can get into top four, and there's what, a 26% chance there, Brian, that they can do that. You're going to get a nice player there. If you do keep Drew, I wouldn't mind seeing in the backcourt a Kobe White, a Ja Morant, two point guards, I think, that could immediately step in and play and do that. And then you look at the trade. I think you can have some sort of excitement in that, hey, you can probably get some players. So finish up with telling Pels fans, realistically, what can they expect, and what do you think eventually sort of happens and where AD sort of goes? Is it big that he will sign there, you know, wherever he goes, a contract extension? Do you risk that? Do you try to take the best you can? How do you think you approach the Anthony Davis trade?
So I think a big factor here is what happens with Kyrie Irving, because obviously the Celtics have a package of players that would be very attractive. And one of the reasons why the Pelicans waited in February was to get to Boston in the summer. If Kyrie Irving leaves and Anthony is not going to commit, and by the way, this is an important factor. Even if they did a trade with the Lakers and Anthony Davis got a Laker tattoo on his forehead and rode into the city of Los Angeles on a chariot, he could not extend his contract for 6 months, and a lot can go wrong in 6 months. So any team that trades for him, no matter what he says about a list or anything, they will not be able to have comfort that he is going to extend his contract or going to stay. So as a result, I think every team is on the same footing, which means you're trading for a guy who could potentially walk in a year. With that understanding, I think it's very difficult for the Celtics to commit Jason Tatum to the deal if Kyrie Irving has already walked. And if they're not willing to put Jason Tatum in the deal, I think they lose leverage in being able to make the best offer. Now, this is where it comes to the front office. If the front office may evaluate that Jaylen Brown might have a better future than Jason Tatum, that's where you have to make an adjustment. But if Jason Tatum is not in the deal, I think it brings into play a whole lot more teams, including the Lakers, especially if the Lakers draft pick moved into that top four. They have it's not a good chance, but they have a reasonable chance of that happening. So there's factors even outside the Pelicans' control. But ultimately, I think one of the things you have to do is you have to decide how deep in this draft you want to go into. You know, for example, do you want the number 11 pick if from the Lakers, or you don't want the 11th pick, and do you want the fourth pick only, you know, inside the top four only? Second thing you got to establish, like, what about Brandon Ingram? You may like Brandon Ingram, but Brandon Ingram just had this blood clot that has thrown his future into doubt. You got to do your research on that, and then you've got to look elsewhere, too, at what other teams have packages. I'll tell you the team that I would keep an eye on, and you can watch them in the playoffs, is the Clippers. Because the Clippers have salary cap space, they have young assets, they have draft picks. They have a type of package that that could get Anthony Davis. They were silent in February, but they could make some noise again. So keep an eye on the Clippers. Think about, you know, getting potentially some of the draft assets they have. Think about the possibility of getting, you know, at the game-winning play last night.
Yeah,
two rookies, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, seeding to Landry Shamet. Both of those guys, rookies. Both of those guys, you might be able to get your hands on. Think about a trade potential with the Clippers as well.
There it is, Brian Windhorst. Great info. And give me 10 seconds. Zion Williamson. I mean, does anybody trade him out of the first pick? I know here in New Orleans, people are hoping that it's the Knicks, and maybe people can look at that as the only one. But I can't see Cleveland. I know Phoenix wants a new arena. Chicago, you know, to get somebody. I mean, does anybody think about trading him out of the first spot?
Probably not. But I would say that I am not a talent evaluator,
mm-hmm.
but I was incredibly excited by what I saw out of Ja Morant. And there's a possibility that Ja Morant is a very different type of player, but could be a spectacular NBA player. May not have the star power, may not have the shoe endorsement, may not have the highlights that Zion does, has a chance to be as good or better of an NBA player. And he will be available at the 2 pick, and I think the 2 pick becomes especially interesting when it comes to Anthony Davis, depending on the team especially, because if you're New York and you get the number 2 pick and you have the opportunity to maybe add Anthony Davis to a Kevin Durant or add Anthony Davis to a Kyrie Irving and compete immediately, I think that's why one of the most important days for the Pelicans in this whole saga is May 14th. Not only for their pick, but the picks with the teams they might talk to.
Indeed. Brian Windhorst of ESPN at Windhorst ESPN is the way to follow him on Twitter. Hey, man, I appreciate your time. I know you're always busy. Love what you guys do over there on the jump and obviously all the coverage. And we're paying attention in New Orleans because our future depends on it. Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
Yep, absolutely. Great stuff.